To order. This is the October meeting. There's Katie of the Board of Finance. And members present are Vice Chair Ken Humphrey, Katie Keating, Dr. Sarah Faulkner, and Andrew Lavery. Absent tonight is John Webb. So appreciate everybody coming back and appreciate those in attendance from the public and others. Public participation is our first agenda topic, and we did not receive any that I am aware of. Bill, did you get anything that I did not receive? Okay. These meetings are a hot, you know, topic in town. So here we go. All right. So let's move on into our packet that was shared. We have the annual reports through the first quarter, essentially. So this is
Jen. There is somebody, an attendee, that has a hand raised for public comment.
Oh, I am so sorry. I did not see that.
Daniel has his hand. Bill, can you?
Let me try. I will.
With any luck.
I'm going to allow Malum to talk.
Yes. Yeah, you're host now, so I.
Okay, you have to unmute yourself. There you go.
Okay.
Hey, very good. I don't know how Julie saw that.
Oh, Sarah, if you click on participants down on your screen, you can get a sidebar. And you can see one as panelists and then the other as attendees. If you click on attendees, you can see that.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
It's quite handy.
Right. Lou Daniels, I would like to invite you to make a public comment.
Thank you, Jen. And I'll make this very quick. First of all, I want to thank everybody for their time and effort and volunteerism. You guys do a great job, and I know how difficult it is, and it's nice to see everybody collaborating at the tri-board meeting, number one. Number two, thank you, Bob Bessel. I had texted him, and I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things. And one is I'm gonna go back many years to Sam Humphrey. And Sam used to have, he used to kind of debate this a little bit, but Sam used to have this argument about fund balance, that we should never be taxing to create a fund balance because that's overtaxing the public. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that fund balance from the public standpoint, I think you can use some of that fund balance to take away some of the pain that we have. And I know you said you like to stay funded at about 15%. And I would be an advocate, and I think others may be, to take that down a little bit to be able to get done some of the things that you need to get done based on what I had seen at the tri-board meeting. And then the second thing is just to really encourage you to take a look at the bonding. And I know that Bob Skinner had mentioned, you know, you guys are moving on refinancing, which I think is an excellent, restructuring the debt would be an excellent thing. And I know you have some other projects coming under that, like the bridges and the firehouse. But you have a chance with very low interest rates to maybe take a wider swatch out of the needs of the town and put that under this very low interest money. And you can accomplish quite a great deal, because I think we're going to hit an up cycle. I don't think we're going to be able to see money like this in the future, and the ability to do projects like this may begin to shrink. So I would really encourage you to take a look at your 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 top priorities for the town across the Board of Ed and the town, in trying to get those things done. I think the public would support you if they can see, you know, a diversity of projects getting accomplished, from recreation through roads, through other things, that infrastructure things that we need as much as you can. So that would be my comment. And you know, I support you guys 100% whatever you decide to do, but I think this is a good time for you to really to dig down and do it as quickly as you can, because I really believe all the financial reports that I read in the first quarter, we're going to start to tick up, and it'd be a shame to miss the opportunity. Even by thousands of dollars that it might cost us, it's money that we could save if we move quicker and as fast as we can. So those are my comments. Thank you very much for your time, and mostly thank you for your service, everybody. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate that, and definitely something for us to, you know, have in mind as we consider things for the future. And I know, just as we're going to talk about some of the ARPA questions and other things, that I think the long range capital will be on people's mind. All right. So with that, I'm now going to close the public comments. I appreciate Julie, you catching the hand that I missed. That said, I'm going to turn it over to Bill to give us a hot, you know, some updates again from a Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, town budget side as to where we are after the first quarter. So it starts on page 2 of our packets.
Since I'm sharing my screen, I figured I'd move to that again. Starting with the financial highlights memo for the town. Year-to-date revenues at 49.6% of budgeted as compared to last year at this time, 47.4%. Tax collection, again, budgeted at 99%. So far, tax collection is doing very well at 54.8% of budgeted. Interest income, not so well. Continues to underperform with the low market-wide rates. Not reflected in the September financials because we received it in October is the people's interest income, which is the majority of interest that we receive of $10,780. I just took a look at myself and preparing a forecast for the year of where we think we're going to land. It's probably approximately a little under 50% of what we had budgeted. We thought that was conservative at the time, but interest has not rebounded at all. I have received just today, I haven't had a chance to dissect it, an overview from Peoples. It wasn't the level of detail that I was looking for because they are going through some changes on their end. But I will give that a review and get that out to you by tomorrow. Moving on to building licenses and permits, continues its positive trend. And so far collecting 53.4% of budgeted. Does anyone have questions on the revenue?
Yeah, Bill, Sandra, just a quick question for you. Number one bullet point there, you talked about the, we budgeted that we'll collect 99% of, have 99% collection rate. And we're at just shy of 55%. That 54.8% that we have so far, how does that compare to last year, this time last year? Do we know off the top of your head?
I'm going to have to go to the top of my head. I'll go over here. Hold on a second. Okay. It's going to be more accurate than my head. at this time, so here is the review of the tax collections right here.
And, oh, okay, perfect. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so 53.05 right. Last year.
Keep in mind that 53 from last year was based on a lower percentage.
And the 50 that's correct.
It's about 99. So there's actually a, if you want to get down to the calculator, you can actually see that the spread is actually bigger.
Yeah, you can see, you can just look at the numbers here. They are much larger. But yeah, you're correct. It was 98.5 at the time.
The other thing is last year there was no tax penalty for paying up to 90 days late. So, people's, when they started incurring a penalty, didn't kick in until September 30th last year. And I think we looked at this last month, and it would be, move us to keep watching it to understand what's our collection rate relative to build compared to the prior fiscal year. And I think what we're seeing, and Bill, I don't know if we looked at it again this month, but if I remember last month's update, you had given us an update that essentially said where we were off to for this fiscal year was in line with where we were for the, fiscal year that was 2019-2020. That's correct.
Yes. Yes. I just want to add on this. And if you can go back up there, Bill, do your bullet statements. Looking at the number 2 there about our 50% of budget of interest. I think going into budget next year, we got to be a little bit more realistic of what we're getting on our returns. Over the years in our budgets, we've always budgeted that quite high, and it's always coming quite low. I don't think we're doing the town and ourselves a service on that. And I think we need to take a harder, a more realistic view on what we're going to call that budget, what we're going to get from our interest next year.
I'd like to second that.
Yeah, 100% agree with Ken. Yeah, we can't keep going every year now thinking we're going to get, 10% when we're getting 1%. It's just not hacking it.
I strongly agree, Ken. I think you're right.
Yeah, thank you.
And I thought we had knocked it way back. I'm surprised we're still as far off as we are.
We did. We cut it in half. You can see it right here.
I don't know that anybody knew that the step rate would be 0.02% right now. So we did budget 50% or, yeah, actually more than 50% haircut of last year. We had a discussion on that. And it was 2 or 3 years ago, Ken, where actually the interest income was a winner in our budget.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
And so it is something that it feels to me, what I would say is it's been extremely volatile. So in my 4 years on the board, I don't think that we've had a year where it came in close to budget. It was either well over or well under. So we've always been fortunate to either be able to make up. But I do think it's something where really doing a longer term and finding whether that be a member of the board who has some idea on the outlook on investments or has looked at that, what would be appropriate assumptions to potentially make. And really help with estimating that would be a good idea.
Lou Daniels did hit upon something. I didn't say it during the last meeting, but this is only my personal prediction, and I'm not using crystal balls, so I don't have to eat glass if it goes wrong. The Feds are going to raise the interest rate, and it's going to impact our budget for next year. And hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully they'll do it. But if they're going to do it, I hope they do it before we set their budget. That way we can deal with real numbers. But my personal prediction is they'll do it within 6 months because the inflation is starting to cook. I'm a little surprised at the housing, and I know Bob Skinner came in and says he doesn't expect the grand list to grow. It's going to be interesting. I know we all know the housing value has gone up, but I was expecting that last year, and it was actually didn't. So,
but we don't have a reevaluation, Ken, for another 3 years.
Right.
So we won't feel the impact of that for a few years.
Correct. And I know that. So, but it's it just affects everything. It affects a lot of other things. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Any other questions or comments on revenue? All right.
I'll move on. The year-to-date expenses are at 33.9% compared to 34% same time last year. We just received the contract for DPW, and we do have some position changes internally, so I will work this next month on developing the contingency adjustment. So the full-time salary line items that you see currently over budget will reflect the increases. So those things will get in line hopefully for the next reporting. The number two, the CAO equipment purchase. This is, I guess, sleeping on here, because you'll see it throughout the year. This is the result of the Zoom license fees. The town hall part-time, same as well. I'll drop it off next month, but you know that overage was due to a part-time for COVID cleaning. The town hall light and power. Excuse me. We received a credit back from the back from the bank. And it's in regards to actually the police energy efficiency upgrades, but it'll be a one-time thing. It's positive. We got that credit from that one. We've applied it to that line item because that's where the loan was being processed straight from the energy bills. Police patrol equipment, you'll see that it's over, excuse me, due to the cameras purchase. There's purchases encumbered right now. It will be partially offset, getting it in line. It'll actually still have remaining funds against the budget due to the $30,000 of expected grant funds that we're going to receive. The General Highway Tree Care, that was mostly adjusted right before I ran the report. So you won't see the overage like you did last month. I believe it's only $400-something at this point. And the dialer ride, you know, that's going to be offset with the grant funds.
Does anyone have any questions on the, so, go ahead, Ken.
Refresh my memory, I'm probably having a plague fog here. What is the general highway tree care?
Well, we had a lot of ash trees, I believe.
It's tree removal, then. It's not.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's, I don't know why I queued on the word care. And it's like, caring for trees, or I thought we were removing. Okay. Thanks.
Caring for people so they don't fall down, I guess.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, let's move on to some of the special revenue funds, which I believe start on page 20. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, so the at page 20 of the packet, you'll see the parking rack that I have out the year to date. Red is good in this regard. That's the revenues. They're $41,591 ahead of budget so far. The WPCA. Sorry, this is a bit larger. They, you know, currently don't show the same, but, you know, they made, it's just due to the timing. Of it, so that there's no issues there. Sewer assessment, not much to, it's driven off the connection charges. So we'll have to see what we get for connection charges for this year to drive up those revenues.
Just can you hold on for a second?
Yep.
Bob, you guys did a smoke test. And I don't remember reading anything what the results was on that.
We did a smoke test here in Collinsville, which essentially is you force smoke up through the pipes, the sewer pipes. What you're looking for is the outflow of that smoke. So it comes out somebody's smokestack or somebody's catch basin or something else, you know that they're hooked into the sewer system and they should not be. The results of that smoke test was that there are very few houses in Collinsville that were hooked up inappropriately. There's only, I think, three or four at most that might have been questioned, which was what we predicted beforehand was much less. So that turned out to be very good. So they did the smoke test. The results were that, at least as far as illegal hookups go, that wasn't the issue. Since then, they have completed that entire evaluation of the system, and I believe it's about $800,000 in repairs that they're looking at doing, which sounds significant, but the original estimate was much greater than that, and it looks like that $800,000 they will be able to fund with their own money over time. They'll do it in phases, which again is important because originally we looked at, we thought it might be something that the town might have to contribute and help them fund. And as of right now, it doesn't look like that'll be the case.
Okay, thank you.
Does that include the storm drain issues with the water getting in?
Yes. In fact, that's why they do the smoke test. Is to see what, you know, what fluids are getting into the system. Yep, some of it's out of storm drain, but they're finding a lot of it is just leaking straight into the pipes. Mm-hmm. Some of the pipes have issues. And so what they can do is they can put up an actual separate pipe, a sleeve that goes inside the existing pipe, very thin, seals it. And so that fixes, you know, a substantial portion of the problem. They also videotaped all the pipes to see where, you know, roots are growing in and that kind of thing. And by sleeving the pipes, they can help address those issues also. So the WPCA will be, you know, determining a process for moving forward. It'll be a phased approach, and I think they'll be able to pay for it all with their own money, which I don't have the number yet for what that will do for our capacity, but obviously, just to give you an estimation, you know, on an average summer day, we may only be using 450,000 gallons, where recently we had those very heavy rainstorms, we were well over a million, 1.2 million. So that gives you an idea of how many gallons are infiltrating the system. And once we make these, you know, repairs, much of that, a good portion of that will go away.
Thank you.
EMS, right now there is a shortfall. There is always a lag with the patient bone recovery. And, we did do a year-end transfer to get their fund balance back in the black.
Can I ask a question about EMS real quick?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt there. This was asked me by somebody in town. If EMS calls for Lifestar, do we pay for that or not? Or do we pay part of that for Lifestar? Does anybody know the answer to that?
I don't believe we pay for any of it. I think the patient would pay for it. I've never seen that we paid for any of that. I could be mistaken. I can check, but the best of my knowledge, that would be paid for by the patient.
Okay, all right. Because I didn't know the answer. I told him I'd ask tonight about it. So.
It's their insurance, and there's all kinds of regulations right now on No Surprises Act. So they're not supposed to, at this point in time, the amount of balance billing or surprise billing for something like that in an emergent situation is not supposed to show up for the actual customer or person who had to be transported. My question on the EMS budget was looking at the contracted services. And I know we've talked about this for a while, right? When we can't get the volunteers, my understanding is that's when we have to call in our call in our contracted services. And through the first quarter, we've used about 40% of our budget, if I'm interpreting this correctly, which leads me to believe, if we had budgeted correctly, it would have been 25% of the budget we had used through the first 3 months. We've used 40%. So is our trend that we are going to have even more overage and we're going to end up in a further deficit even after the funding from the town? And so am I interpreting correctly is the first question. Then my second question is, what, if any, ideas or things do we have right now, or is this something we could ask of the Board of Selectmen to try and figure out how we can promote more volunteerism to get some of those volunteers that we had pre-pandemic back? Or maybe I'm misunderstanding the situation here.
This has been an ongoing issue, quite frankly, for years. It has gotten worse, especially with COVID. One of the problems with COVID is that we've had difficulty in getting the new EMT volunteers sufficiently trained so they can go on their own. There's a certain amount of training they have to do, and with COVID and COVID protocols and the amount of people you can have in ambulance and all those type of things, it's been harder to get them certified. At least that's what I was told last time I asked the exact same question you asked me, that I asked of the department. Honestly, I don't see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, there are certain changes we can make, but I think going forward, you'll see fairly heavy reliance on the contracted services, and I don't see that changing. A lot of this is either weekend or evening times when it's supposed to be covered by a volunteer. They just can't find a volunteer to cover the shift, and they can't leave the shift uncovered, so they call in VinTech. And unfortunately, that still continues. We monitor it. We do what we can. We've increased the paper call that they receive over time. We're looking to build them a new fire station that has better facilities for sleeping quarters and day rooms and all those type of things. So it's, it's not like we haven't stepped up to the plate. But that said, I haven't seen a silver bullet I don't think it'll change significantly over the next year.
And I don't know if this is one of those items. So if it's only a year and we think after we have a new fire station, maybe it'll be different. I mean, this might be one of those things for consideration from the Board of Selectmen when we do the board, the process to say, do we need to tackle this in a different way? To your comment, Bob, we've been discussing it for a while. I know the team is trying, but is there an alternate approach, or what do we need to expect the long-term continual increases in kind of contribution from the town, and what does that represent to our expenses on a go-forward basis?
Let me just weigh in for a second. I think we are going to have to look at this in a little more holistic manner. You know, it seems like it's a trend, and I think we're going to have to, the selectmen are going to have to explore it from a policy point of view to see just what can be done. Budget wise, I think we're going to have to look long and hard at the numbers that we're proposing as budget numbers to see if they're realistic. You know, if we're at we're 38%, you know, in the first quarter, that's not a good trend, you know, for expenses. So yeah, we've got to do something. It's why we do this, why we report these numbers so we can see this. So we got some work to do.
All right. Okay. Any other questions on EMS? Otherwise, let's move on to Parks and Rec.
Transfer station.
Nope. Sorry. Yep. Next.
It's not as exciting as Parks and Rec. Bob, I don't know if you have anything to add, but I haven't been made aware of anything. As far as I know, they're trending to budget. So it's just cyclical. That's it for the special revenue funds. Any
other questions? Otherwise, we can move on to the dismal investment income report.
That's correct.
Well, that's now that the transfer station coming on.
So the below line there, the bottom line is our current year for investment income. You can just take a look up, visually, and you can see kind of where we're at prior years. Obviously, a different world. And even though we were very conservative, I think, in what we budgeted, we do need to look at what we budget for next year because we don't know how this is going to, how it's all going to shake out. Cash and investments report. I don't know if anyone has any questions, but these are the amounts that we have. In each, we have had follow-up, and I will share. Go ahead, John, I'm sorry.
No, you can finish your thought, but I'll ask the question.
We did circle back with Peoples, and they did send me something just for this late afternoon, so I'll send out whatever kind of update they did provide. And if there is more information needed, I'll circle back with them again. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. So I had two questions. One of them is just the where the funds are sitting. I noticed that starting in August of this year, it looks like we moved a bunch of funds into the general fund investment account. Is that just kind of a strategy versus leaving it just in the general fund at Webster? Is that just a strategy that one earns slightly more interest than the other and we can operate on the cash flow? I was just curious on the amount that was sitting there.
ARPA funds?
Pardon me?
ARPA?
Oh, that's ARPA funds that we got in there and others. Yeah. Okay, just... It looks like it was a big flip to only have 275,000. That seemed like one of the lower numbers, and then 370. So, but makes sense. My other question had to do with the Collinsville Bank market value. What interest rate do we have on that investment? Do we know that right now? And is there any way to leverage? I can't remember when that fund came into an account, but I think potentially we tried something new with Collinsville, and I didn't know if that was anything that we could explore that would maybe be a source of slightly more investment income.
You're referring to the small cities?
No, the one that's kind of right in the middle there, the Collinsville Savings Society right there.
Okay. I don't know it offhand. I can take a look at what that interest rate is. Kumbi is dialed in. I don't know if I don't want to put her on the spot, though. She would know more than I would. I mean, taking the interest rate. Let me take that one down now.
May not be an option. I just didn't know if it was possibly something we could look at there as we're exploring different options for the town. Okay. Any other questions on the investments and our investment income? All right.
I already shared the tax collector report and obviously the numbers in the overview. And, you know, as part of the prior meeting, the estimated fund balance, unassigned fund balance as well.
So on this one, could we address the question that I think Sarah and I maybe both had around the $130,000? Why that is? I understand that last month it was unaudited too, and this is still kind of unaudited, but potentially updated. But help me understand what the difference is from the 500-ish rough ballpark. I'm doing that from memory that we discussed last month, and the 330.
Yeah. So. I was very conservative actually at the time. I was trying to be conservative with that 550, but it was just basically the accounting of the excess cost grant that was not accounted for correctly. So when it rolled over to the town's financials, it had to be backed out as excess. It was recorded twice. It was an accounting error.
Okay. All right. And this does not include any consideration for what the Board of Education wants to discuss with us for approval tonight.
This $330,000 should be all inclusive of the town and the Board of Education right now, the way the financials look.
Okay. But if we would consider approving their request to use $100,000 of the unexpended, that would essentially make this $230,000.
Correct.
330 factors in that request.
That's correct.
Which one?
The 330 factors in the excess from the Board of Ed. So if you're going to reappropriate the $100,000, it would make that $230,000.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Hey, Bill, in the future, if that happens, it'd be nice to have that in your summary to explain that for us. Because when I saw that drop to 330, I was curious, and that would have been helpful to know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And okay. Well, maybe we can talk about that tomorrow.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Any other questions on the use of fund balance? It sounds like potentially so things for the board to consider is A, we've already approved roughly 46,000 of additional usage, and potentially there's a request for another 100,000 roughly. So we would have actually about 150,000 less to that 7.3. We will still be healthy as a percentage of our balance, but it will be less than the 17.5, just a couple of considerations. All right. Any other questions? Otherwise, let's move on to the Board of Education.
Okay. All right. I basically, on my financial highlights memo, broke it down into certified, non-certified, and then other. The certified salaries is unfavorable, about $33,000 due to an additional pre-K teacher, which due to enrollment sizes, we had to go ahead and hire. We were able to offset some of that by the wage differential between some new staff and staff that retired, et cetera. And then also there's a possibility that some of this may be able to be, some costs may be up, be transferred to a grant. I'm still looking at that. Had a lot of cleanup to do with the last few weeks when I finally began starting on July 1. So it appears that a lot of payroll costs were miscoded by my predecessor and or deleted, et cetera. So there's been a lot of cleanup here. So my apologies for not being a little more detailed, but and of course The timing, I use timing a lot, and that means that those are monies that we anticipate expending by the end of the year. It's just, you know, it's not encumbered as of yet. Non-certified salaries. Now, there are a lot of additional, there are several additional special ed paras that needed to be hired due to IEPs, et cetera, a lot of more, a few more one-on-ones. So we did go ahead and hire those paras. We do have some open positions that, like part-time custodial, et cetera. I think there's one more. And so a little bit of favorability due to wage differential, and then of course the timing where we expect really to use that those funds throughout the end of the year. Other expenses, which is one O'Kill nurse salary, which I'm still investigating. Our out-of-district tuition, as expected, is unfavorable, about $332,000. I think we actually thought it was going to be unfavorable more than that, but the anticipated excess cost reimbursement is about $525,000, so that covers that. And the rest is timing, expected to be expended throughout the rest of the year. As far as grants, the ARP-ESSER was approved, as well as the CHEF settlement and the adult ed. So those funds are approved. And the $130,000 and change might be a number. Well, I know the Board of Ed was familiar with that number because it was unallocated. And the current Board of Ed will be allocating that at their next meeting. So that's the $130,000 open choice. And the food service report is pending. I've had some discussions and try to get those numbers a little bit more timely. So we're gonna try to put a calendar together, but that is pending at this time. So that covers the financial highlights as I have them. Any questions on that?
You don't necessarily have to do it for this time, but in the future, if you're giving highlights on the grant report, if we could have the numbers for each one, that would be helpful. Or if you do have that right in front of you and could just tell us what they are.
Did I bring it home with me is the question. Let's see. I opted to try to get out of the office before dark. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's maybe just something to include next time.
Absolutely. I think we only got on page 73, we've got the open choice grant report, but we did not get all of the grant reports, but page 73 did kind of have that. And I think the $130,000 that's kind of sitting unallocated is in one of the old, you know, the year two. So we would expect that to be getting spent at this point.
Correct.
Funding approach.
Yeah. And my apologies, I was going off of, I wasn't quite sure what to expect for some of these meetings. So I kind of went by what was submitted prior, but I can definitely give you all the grants next time. And you are correct, that 130 will be reallocated next month.
All right. One of my questions or observations, done, and part of this was just, you know, like you were saying, I know that you've been doing a lot of cleanup, so nothing that necessarily needs to be acted upon. But for example, like on page 41, there is a line item for the certified salaries, and that would indicate that we are over budget. I think it's kind of by $45,000 or something to that extent. I can't remember the exact number. And the write-up didn't necessarily kind of help understand that full story. So I appreciate some of the pieces. And it's not overspent. It actually would imply, I think, yeah, it is actually overspent on page 41 by about 45,000. So if we could better understand what's driving that. One other thing that I noticed was some of the detailed pages did not line up with the pages that you provided, which I found very helpful, that began on page 59, where it was kind of like each line item and what's the budget balance. So one thing might just be, you know, either including only one or both, but there was like small, there was differences, I guess is what I would say, and kind of what you were talking about and what was there. And I'm like, wait a minute, the financial highlights memo, it seemed reflected what was on page 59 and later. And then the detailed pages that we got kind of in between 40 and 58 were a little bit off from your financial highlights memo. So just an observation to either only include one or try and have them be aligned.
Okay. All right. I'll have to look at that because I thought that they were aligned. So
I don't know if others. I found a couple examples and then I just decided to focus on these pages because it seemed like they were aligned with your memo and they had the helpful variance explanation. So,
right.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you too for the same for the variance explanation. That really helps us understand it better.
Okay. Do you understand the whole timing piece? Because it's kind of funny because actually Kevin was like, we shouldn't put that. So I don't know if you know what that means or not, but that's what I meant by all those timing.
Could you briefly explain it? Because I think I do, but I'd rather hear you say it also.
Yeah, like for instance, well, I'm just looking at like district teacher substitutes, which is like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 10 lineups up from the bottom. There's a budget of $340,000. The year to date is only 8,000, leaving a balance of 331. We've got some encumbered because some of our in-house substitutes are in that line item, but the rest of that is really substitutes through Kelly Educational Services, which comes as it's, you know, each week as it's expended. So that's why that's not encumbered, but it will be expensed because those subs will likely be used by the end of the year. So that's why I say, okay, it looks $28,000 favorable, or did I just pull the wrong number? $71,000 favorable, but we're likely gonna use that.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, so what it's basically indicating is you're expecting it to balance out in the end.
Exactly.
So it's off temporarily right now, but it will even itself out.
Right, looks favorable, but it's really not.
Just expecting it meant, yes, good, okay.
Good. Any other questions for the Board of Education? All right. Appreciate the continued updates there. And I know at some point in the next few months, if we can get a special education that's an ongoing discussion, just kind of where are we this year with what we know relative to what we budgeted and what are we thinking? Potential risks and or opportunities are, if for some reason we're going to spend less, does that mean there's risk to the amount of the excess cost grant? You know, just all of those things because they all interplay with each other. But I know we're probably a little bit early in the school year to know, but, within the next couple of months.
It's been changing daily, so that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Donna, thank you for your report with that. I'm gonna hop off unless there are any other needs from the Board of Education.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night. Have a good night. All right. Let's move on to the Board of Selectmen updates and referrals.
I think you've all seen the ARPA memo that that Bob put together. The CIP committee thought was a really good plan. The Board of Selectmen reviewed it and agreed. Bob, I think you can go through all of these entities here, and I sounds like there are, from the last meeting, that there are a whole bunch of questions from the Board of Finance, so I think we should just dive right in and get to them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's move on to questions here. So I don't know, either Katie or Sarah, you both expressed that you had some questions. If one of you would like to start.
Yeah, I'm happy to, unless you are dying to, Sarah.
Oh, jump ahead, Katie.
Okay. I want to start off just by saying that I really appreciate the work that the committee put into putting this together. Obviously, you've given it a lot of thought, and that is, you know, really valuable for the town. And I also really, you know, support the overall themes that you came up with. I think that the sort of health and well-being and safety and outdoor recreation, it makes sense for that to be the focus of spending from the money. I did ultimately come away with the sense that I'd like to make sure that we're really addressing the COVID, the most directly COVID-related things first, or most, or maybe not most, but first, or make sure that we're taking care of those items adequately before we start to spend on or spend as much on kind of new fun recreation things that we may really want as a town and think are great, but let's just make sure that we've really covered sort of redressing the harms that have occurred because of COVID. And the areas that I saw that and was interested in getting answers or making some suggestions most strongly, I think one was just checking, and Julie, maybe you can address this in terms of what the Board of Ed is doing with its own ARPA funding or COVID funding. One was on the item of the social and emotional learning support. The committee had recommended $40,000 and that would be spent on contracted services, because we want to make sure that none of this goes to something that we're going to have to pay for later when we no longer have this great federal money. And I was interested in understanding better how much that buys for the school and whether you feel as if it's adequate for the needs that you're seeing in terms of the problems kids are having with coming back to school this year and dealing with what they're dealing with. Trying to unmute myself.
Sure. So, you know, our ESSER ESSER grant funding was just approved. We as a school district have to jump through way more hoops in our funding than the town does. And, you know, I will say that, you know, social emotional learning is a big piece of use of that funds. This part here, the school psychological services, I believe what that money is we're intending to use is for private therapy for students that may need it. So it's kind of it's adding on another layer to what we're already using the ESSER grant funding for. So it's contracted services, so that because it's, you know, I think it's to kind of bump up the needs and the services to the students that need it. You know, I think the committee asked for that number. The committee did not give that number to the school. We went to the school and asked Kevin to bring us what he thought was needed, and that was the number that he came to us with. So I would say that he feels that number is adequate to address the needs.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful to know where the number came from, and mm-hmm. and that, you know, if the schools are okay with that, that sounds good. Another area that I was particularly interested in is when looking at the money in the local shuttered tourism grant. That, I guess, one question to start off with is that intended only for nonprofits, or was that meant to be for anyone who, nonprofit or for-profit, who is in a tourism-related area that was affected?
was meant for nonprofit.
Okay, because I saw that you used the examples of the Nature Center and the Historical Society. Mm-hmm. So,
if I could mention, I'm sorry.
No. Even with it being just for the nonprofits, it seemed important to find out, you know, what their needs were and how they were actually affected by having to close down for COVID. So I actually got in touch with both Jay at the Nature Center and Don from the Historical Society. And Jay at least said, Don said he had written something to Bob Bessel earlier this summer about the way that they were affected, but Jay said he had not been contacted to find out what the impact of COVID had been on the Nature Center. And the numbers there in both cases are really quite high in terms of their lost revenue for the COVID period. And that's just two. There may be other nonprofits that we would be thinking about, Gallery of the Green, On the Green, and others. The Nature Center, for example, was probably over $100,000 that of money that they would normally have been having come in, that did not come in the 2021 year. With the Historical Society, it was about just under $30,000. So to have all of the different nonprofits in town being asked to compete for a grant where the total amount of grant money was $30,000 strikes me maybe as not really doing as much as we could, given that this is COVID money, to try to redress the harms to those organizations from COVID. So I wanted to suggest that we consider, particularly given that there is some money left over that hasn't been allocated, that we consider bumping up that amount to try to do more to really address the harm that they suffered.
Yeah, if I could just say a couple things about that. One it's not every nonprofit, because if you went to every nonprofit, that would be significant. So it's the nonprofits that are related to tourism. Two, there is a federal shuttered tourism grant. In fact, that's where I got this from. And that those local, including the museum and I believe the Nature Center, could apply for funding under that program. And in fact, I told representatives from the Historic Museum, Bill Velasquez in particular, that federal grant was available. And there are news articles out there about different nonprofits, tourism nonprofits, that have collected significant money under that federal grant. So, you know, on a local level, I think we have an obligation to help to support. Certainly, these numbers can be changed. But the concept wasn't to replace all their lost income. It was basically to give them support going forward. Also, I do think, you know, they have some obligation to try to, you know, get funds where they're available other than just from the town. And there was that federal program that, you know, mirrored what we're trying to do here, except they had a lot more money than we have.
Sure, I totally understand that. And I didn't expect that we would be making them 100% whole relative to their lost revenue. But I did think it was important to know what kind of ballpark magnitude their lost revenue was in coming up with the number of what we would be offering. And so I think it's important to have that information when we think about what we're going to put into that particular part of the pot. And I also, a slightly different issue, but related to that, on that item, it's mentioned that people who are going to get the money would need to go through an application process with specific criteria for awarding the grant. But a couple of the other things, both the Business Stability Fund and the Support Main Street Fund, didn't mention applications with specific criteria. So I didn't know if they were intended to be administered differently or if that was just not included in the bullet points there.
It just wasn't included in the bullet points. Much of this needs to be filled in. Some of these things I think could be promoted and administered actually through EDA. But no, there would be an application process for both the business side and the nonprofit side. Basically, almost all these funds that we'd be giving out to other entities, we would be some kind of a application process. Although the other towns I've looked at, the application process hasn't been overly complicated. I know some towns have been giving out hundreds of thousands to local businesses, and they basically have about a two-page application process. I think they wanted to get the money out quicker and just wanted to get the money into the hands of businesses, so they, you know, made the requirements of the application process fairly light. And, you know, those are decisions that will have to be made. So there are a lot of pieces that need to be filled in. This is essentially, that's why it's kind of called the outline, because that's exactly what it is.
Go ahead.
All I was just going to say is clarification of process. So what we're doing tonight, and I appreciate this step, you're giving the Board of Finance an opportunity to look at this. It's going to go back to the Board of Selectmen with any comments we make tonight. Board of Selectmen will then take any kind of adjustments or consideration of these comments and how they might want to update the outline or reframe the outline. That will go to a public hearing. A public hearing will then kind of be able to give feedback as well. And then it's going to come back to the Board of Finance for a vote on is that. And then, you know, then from there, it will go to the town for a town meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Katie, did you have one more? And then we'll turn it over to Sarah to see what just she has and others.
Just one more. That was just the, when we've talked in other contexts about trying to improve walkability in town, about the effects of the pandemic on people's, you know, kind of getting out and about in their neighborhoods in a way that had not occurred previously. And I was a little disappointed that the money for walkability was all directed at Main Street in Collinsville, and not that there wasn't an attempt maybe to use these funds to improve walkability in other parts of Canton.
Yeah, the walkability in Collinsville was part of the streetscape project. We had to eliminate a significant amount of the streetscape. And so, well, not a significant amount, but a portion of it, for example, signs, trash cans, benches, those things. And so we would use some of this money to put those items back in the streetscape too. There is a fair amount, though, in bike trail improvements, which, you know, has to do with walkability. There's going to be a significant cost coming up at some point to replace some of the wood on the bridges and the railings and other improvements to the bike trail that are going to be CIP items if we don't, you know, step up and fund them in some form or another. And that would also have to do with walkability and be places other than just council. But you're right. I mean, there is a fair amount of funding within this that has to do with council. You're right.
Right. No, I mean, I completely agree and understand the bike trail things. Those are very important, but they seem like maintenance. It seems like maybe maintenance that's been deferred, and it's a good thing to make those fixes and very important overall. But if we're trying to think about you know, how we think differently about health and well-being and recreation as a result of what we've been through because of COVID, one of the changes that we really saw in the town was people getting out and about in their neighborhoods a lot more, and trying to think about ways that we as a town can make that safer for them and encourage them to continue to do it even once, you know, the gym is open and there are other options. I think that's something just to throw back at the Board of Selectmen or throw back at the committee and see, you know, can we be a little bit more creative about how we support people walking in Canton?
I think Katie, you're talking about more of a complete streets approach, which is a substantial investment, you know, which quite frankly, I think goes beyond the amount of money that we have here, given all sorts of things that we have to deal with. I mean, going back to the Farmington River bike trail improvements, I mean, we literally have pieces of wood on these bridges that are like disintegrating. So, and people are tripping on it. So it's, you know, we've got some unsafe conditions that really need to be fixed.
I think Bob, we could make some changes with things as simple as crosswalks in places where we don't have them. And
we actually have grants for that that we have received, and we're actually applying for others that are going in other parts of town. So crosswalks are a major effort. Unfortunately, we haven't had to put them in here. We can use DOT grants to do those.
Okay, thanks.
So I have some similar questions and comments to some of what you've heard from Katie. I also would like to thank the committee that did this. I like the five categories. I think it's very thoughtful. I think that looking at what kind of needs the town has and what kind of impact COVID has had on the town, I think you've done a very nice job putting it together. My questions have to do with a couple individual items that are in here, as well as the balance of where some of the money is going. Because if I step back and think, what impact has COVID had on Canton, which is really what this money is for, I think of recreation as being something we've seen the most dramatic change, and I think Katie mentioned that, in people getting outdoors. So I applaud things like the river trail improvements. I walk the trail all the time, so I know exactly what bad shape that bridge is in right now. So it sounds like a really big number, but I think that it's money well spent. It certainly brings a lot of tourists to town. It helps our businesses. And it has been dramatically impacted by COVID. I then think of our businesses in terms of what businesses have been impacted, which ones have really had to shut down or lay off people. Our nonprofits, I know the Nature Center for a little while there was worried they were going to go under. They had to lay off staff. I'm not sure if the Historical Museum did, but those are the two nonprofits I think of right away that are tied to tourism, tied to our definition as a town. And that amount of money for them strikes me as way inadequate compared to some of the other categories. So that was one that jumped out at me. And then the other one is the health and wellness. The mental instability a lot of people have experienced because of COVID has been dramatic. And we already, before this happened, we already had Leslie had an initiative looking at overuse of opioids. So, you know, medical needs, psychological needs were already there, and then COVID has exacerbated it. So I would look to those three as being the big ones. And then safety and facilities are things we want to do anyway, and we have had the inability to do it. COVID has made those higher on the list. So COVID has pushed them up, but they're ones that I think previously existed. So I'd like to ask the committee to look at rebalancing a little bit, because some of these just don't seem big enough to me. I was relieved to hear Julie say that the school psychological services, 40,000 seemed way short to me, but if that's in addition to what the schools are already budgeting, that makes sense. That was the number they chose. But the social service funds, 60,000, I don't think is gonna go very far. And I imagine that, and I'm not sure how it could be distributed. And I know we aren't wanting to hire staff, but to make psychological services available to people who otherwise can't afford it strikes me as a really important thing to provide with this funding. Under safety, the fire department air packs, we gotta pay for it. So much as I'd rather not put this in there, with the ARPA funds, I think we have to. But I wanted to ask you, the public offices security improvements, the description says that this is safe space for the staff from the public, including offices that have, you know, fewer people or maybe single people in some of the offices. What exactly is that entailing? Because 70,000 is a lot of money. So what is that?
Yeah, we have
we have offices, especially on the first floor in town hall, where the public space isn't distinguished from basically the working space. And so we have a tax collector who anybody can come over the counter. There's nothing that's protecting the tax collector. When you go into other town offices and the tax office, they're usually segregated, hardened from the rest of the public. Mm-hmm. The town clerk's office, when people come in to do a title search, they basically enter into the town clerk's office to do that. That space should be separated. And the same thing with the assessor's office. We have, you know, for years, we used to have multiple people in those offices. Now, for example, the tax collector office, we essentially have one. The assessor, we have one. And so the idea was to make sure that we have sufficient space separating where the private office is from the public space. Doesn't mean that they're going to be any less accessible to the public. They'll still be answering all the public's concerns. There'll just be a barrier between them and the public. It's something that we needed for a while. Most town offices have done it a while ago. We put in panic alarms as kind of a short fix, but we've had some instances recently where we've actually had to use them. And, you know, the staff's getting pretty nervous about working in these spaces without making some improvements.
And all that makes sense to me. So, given the violence that's increased with COVID, that makes sense also. It just seems like a really big number, Bob. I mean, if we're putting in a door to those three offices, and even if you put in additional cameras or put in, you know, car locks, which I know are expensive to install, $70,000 sounds really, really high. So I'd ask you to look to see if you need that much.
We actually have a cost estimate for it. We had somebody come in and we had it. We were going to do something similar to this a while ago. We could have got it approved in the budget. It wasn't. But we had a cost estimate done at that time, and that's what that number is based on, is an actual cost estimate. And we can always look to try to find ways to make it cheaper, but I just want to let you know that was based on an actual cost estimate.
Okay. Renovating the CIS field, what's that?
The CIS recreation field where they play playground, there used to be an actual field out there that could be used by the public. That field is in disrepair. We've done some work to it, but it needs irrigation and other things to make it be a usable field.
Just the baseball field you're talking about with the backboard on it?
Or? Yeah, I think it's baseball. I think also it could be multi-purpose. You might be able to get a small soccer field in there also. The problem is the condition it's in now, it's just, you know, it's unsafe for play. It's an item that the Board of Ed has actually asked for a while. We just haven't had a way to fund it. And this was, you know, an opportunity to try to get it funded.
And this is on the main playground of CIS?
Yes.
So if those were sort of turned into much more designated playing fields,
it would still be used as playgrounds.
It would still be used as playground. It wouldn't diminish the playground area for the kids.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Yep.
I'm going to sound like a miser, but $130,000 to renovate an existing field just sounds outrageous to me, because it's already there. Unlike the lot next to the high school that we're putting in a new field, you're not doing anything. You're fixing it. You're putting in new turf. It sounds like you're putting in a sprinkler system too, right?
The irrigation is the primary cost.
It's just massively expensive. Okay, splash pad. That would be partially offset, hopefully, by the Park and Rec Special Revenue Fund.
Actually, part of the when we talk about recouping revenue, uh-huh. Part of that revenue goes to Park and Rec, because Park and Rec was one of the agencies that was significantly hit during COVID.
Right.
So we would reimburse Park and Rec a part of their maybe all of it, most of their lost revenue. That lost revenue would allow them to pay for that splash pad. So essentially, 100% of that splash pad would be paid for out of the lost revenue that Park and Rec would collect.
Right. The river access. So that's the number that we got from George Wallace.
No, that's not the George Wallace's number. Was less than that. That was the number you got from another engineering firm. I can't remember what the name is, but it's a well-known larger engineering firm.
that we got prior to George Wallace's estimate.
All right, I am really hoping we're going to come in a whole lot under that. I mean, I truly believe we could do this for much cheaper. I mean, we discussed this many times at the River Access Committee, and I just, I'm looking for shifting money around. I like the categories you've got. It's just that some of these look really big, whereas others look really small.
Well, we're going to, Sarah, we're going to look at what the actual proposals come in at. I mean, at this point, the 340 for River Access is quite frankly a placeholder. It's a best guess.
Yep.
But we do not have a final design. We do not have a final estimate as to what this is. It's an estimate that we do have in-house right now. Hopefully it'll come in less. But we figured that having it at this level would be safe. We still, remember, have almost $650,000 in reserve in case it's more, in case any of these categories require more money. And of course, if it comes in less, then the difference would go into that reserve and be used for other things.
Okay, I'm hoping that comes in lower.
I do too. Yeah. The first thing that I ever dealt with on the Board of Education was the cost of installing a field. I think it was literally one of the first decisions that came before me, and I almost fell off my chair when I heard how much it cost. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed.
The estimates for the, just to put this in perspective, the estimates for the ball field were between about $700,000 and $950,000.
You know, I feel like towns are in the position of boat owners. You put the word boat onto any kind of repair and it quadruples the cost. And I feel that, you know, a lot of our expenses, we're getting soaked. You know, it's,
I'd like to quote our current first selectman who gave an analysis that if you and I were going to put a bridge across a brook, it probably costs us $3,000. But you have the town to come in and do it, it's going to be $30,000. It'll be the same bridge. That's what you're seeing here.
Yeah, I'm choking on this, is what I am.
Our DPW will build you that access tomorrow morning, but Westland and the rest of the agencies aren't going to like it very much.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to repeat everything that Katie said about the tourism and business, except that I think those are really important, and I think those numbers are way small. The shuttered tourism for our nonprofits. I can't think of any other nonprofit off the top of my head that would need money besides the Historical Society and Warren Brook.
I imagine Gallery on the Green might be one.
Oh, there. Okay. Good.
So it sounds like there's potentially a request, sorry to cut us off here, but it sounds like there's a request back to the Board of Selectmen to consider doing, before finalizing that budget number, to consider doing some kind of an outreach broadly and potentially advertising the federal grant opportunity. Because to the point, you know, making sure that everybody is aware of that, making sure that they're aware that that is a source, but then also just getting a better understanding of what the impact is. Because I think that's the balance part that we have to be smart about. And one thing I've learned from Bob is making sure we're aware of all of our funding sources and maximizing the use of those is just as important. So okay.
Yeah, and then again, the balance. So when I look at the facility improvements, of course we want to air condition our high school auditorium. And of course we want to air condition the town hall auditorium. But whether the money's better spent on that versus keeping some of our businesses alive, you know, if they're on the verge of going under, I think we need to know, you know, is that sufficient funds? Because that to me is a bigger COVID need than putting in air conditioning, although I really would like to see the air conditioning.
Can I just interject for a minute? The HVAC for a town hall auditorium is something that would render the town hall auditorium usable to facilities like the Farmington Players. Right now, during the summer, during hot weather, that auditorium basically is out of commission.
they, you know, nobody can go in there and spend significant amount of time, you know, to either rehearse or to perform. So that opens up the town, that facility for groups like the theater, and which brings more traffic into town of the kind that facilitates businesses. Some of what, you know, I certainly understand and appreciate what you're talking about in terms of trying to support local businesses, you know, but I have to say that COVID is not, if businesses are having difficulty, COVID is not the only reason why they might be. And you start to vet, you know, what those reasons are. Is it COVID? Is it something else? You know, you really start going down a pretty costly road in terms of administrative time to sort all that out, to evaluate these applications. And you might find that some of these numbers, you know, what actually gets to the businesses, what actually gets to the people who need it the most is reduced. And that's my fear in some of this. You know, it sounds great that, yeah, COVID has affected a bunch of businesses, but, you know, I think we have to tread carefully there.
And I agree with you, and I don't want us to end up doing what we saw happen with money for the federal government, you know, in 2008, where it was thrown at businesses and there was no accounting for it.
Right.
It was just gone, and it didn't result in improvement. So we do want to be careful. I 100% agree. I just have one other comment, and that's that with the bond rating, so bond, you know, cost of bonding, as low as it is right now, some of these things, I think we might want to consider moving them into bonding. And that'll give us a much bigger spike in that 1 year, but it'll even out our bonding, you know, over longer years. And given the cost right now, we might want to think about doing this, you know, in addition to you know, rebonding our current debt. But I look at stuff like the technology support and the fixtures and the community center, and wondering if we ought to look at our CIP and think about maybe expending more of them right now, given how low the rates are. So just
Sarah, this is Ken. I'm going to politely push back against what you just said about bonding for money that we'll begin giving in a grant from the federal government. That and stop and think of what you just said. It's not, I don't want to use any, and we'll want to politely say this. If the federal government was giving us money to do this, I'm going to push back against us saying, no, let's go bond for it and use taxpayers' money to do it. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm trying to say.
I don't want to bond
for this. They gave us the money to take care of this.
No, I'm not saying don't take the money. I'm saying reallocate the money. So put more, for example, into the shuttered tourism grant and take some out of the community fixtures. And if we want to do the community fixtures, we want to do road projects, and we have other bridges, let's think about bonding for that stuff now. Maybe a couple of these things shouldn't be put in for the federal funds, and we instead ought to pay for them out of pocket. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything, but don't take the money. I'm saying take the money and let's spend it. Maybe we ought to reallocate it.
Well, and Ben, just a clarification here. Our hands are both Bobs, our hands are somewhat tied on what we can actually spend this money on, correct?
Well, but a couple things. One is to get back to bonding, because this has come up a couple of times tonight. The bond is set. We can't just throw things on the bond. There's a process you have to go through. And so you would have to go back through the same process we've gone through to get the fire station through. You'd have to have a separate issue. It would go to the Board of Selectmen. It would go to the Board of Finance, come back to the Board of Selectmen, then you'd have to have a separate referendum. And so it can't be, since we're having this referendum, we'll just throw on an extra $2 million. You can't do that.
That bond question is set.
You have to go through a whole other bond process in order to get that additional funding. And, you know, that takes some time, plus I'm not sure the patience level of the public, but it's not something that you can do as part of this bond process. And I would be concerned if we held off on the bonding for this process based on the thought that we may have some future bond.
Okay.
I think the interest rates are going to go up. I think it's critical that we bond the first opportunity we get. And so, you know, I wouldn't hold off waiting and think that there may be some additional future bonding. Yes, you can only bond later on. I just want you to know it can't be part of this bond sale.
No, I understand all that, and maybe I wasn't clear. I'm not suggesting we hold off on our current bonding plans. I'm suggesting we might look at an additional bond. So we rebalance the bonds we've got now. We do the bonding. Hopefully the firehouse will pass. We bond for that. And then we may be in the next 6 months to a year look very carefully at other long-term needs while the rates are still as low as they are. So I think they're going to continue climbing. So I just think it might be smart to start thinking about that now. So just, I'm not trying to put any impediments in our current bonding plans. I'm trying to think further forward.
This is an open discussion. Thank you.
I have a request related to that, but I first want to ask Ken, since you're off mute, do you have any questions or feedback on this ARPA funding?
During the course of the discussion, and I caught it when I read it this afternoon, and I want to thank Julie for clarifying that $40,000 for the school, because I was a little surprised, as Sarah was, to find that a little low. So just a quick question, which is, I have to answer it right away, but that $40,000 is in addition to what we're already budgeting for the school on that. And then just to say that, Sarah, I understand what you're saying, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, like the rails, trails, and all those items under there, that's also part of mental health. One of the things I saw riding around on my motorcycle, being social distancing from everybody, all the trailheads were packed with cars everywhere. I mean, I found trails that didn't know existed because I found cars parked down. And if we look at it that way, if they take care of, and you already clarified that bridge, that is also part of that, getting the people out to walk in nature, to get them out to do that stuff, get them in the splash pool. Granted, it's obviously not big enough for anybody here in this meeting. I know that's for kids, but hey, that all works together. It's not just sitting down, getting a counseling session in school. It's the whole town as a group. I was very pleased to see that. But then again, thank you for bringing up the $40,000, because it's like, I thought this was supposed to be for COVID, mental health problems. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. And Julie, we've heard you confirm, correct, that this is on top of ARPA funding and it came from Kevin. And so we feel very comfortable that that is what the schools are asking for and they feel is appropriate. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Andrew, do you have any comments or questions on this?
Yeah, just one. I noticed there was a line item for $200,000 for a Little League field, I believe it was. And I just want to know, what field is that? Is that building a new field? Is that renovating an existing field?
Yeah, sure. That's the that's actually for the new field that would be over at the schools. We originally budgeted, we had a grant for, I think it was $150,000, and then we had put in an additional amount, I think it was 200 maybe, out of fund balance, these approximate numbers, and the bids have come in significantly higher than that, and so we anticipate that we're going to fall short, and so that's what that money is in there for, is to cover the gap between what we already have budget and what the bids will come in at. The first bids came in, like I said, somewhere between high sixes and $950,000. You know, I just said we had about 350 or 400,000 budgeted for it. And so we put it back out to bid again. The first time I went out to bid was in the summertime. That's not the best time to put bids out. It just happened to be the time when it was ready to go. And the hope is that if we just put it out this fall, that contractors will be lining up their work for next spring and summer, so that we'll have a better opportunity to get lower bids. And so we'll, you know, that gap will come a little smaller, but we still think we're going to need some additional funding to make that gap. So that's why that one was there.
And what school would the field be at?
It'd be at the high school. It's the basic replacement for Dyer Field, where the new fire station is going.
Yep.
That field will be removed over to the high school.
Oh, okay. See, I thought that was part of the whole bonding for the firehouse. I knew that field.
No, we moved it out.
Okay. All right. I understand. Thank you.
As long as we're on that field, I want to thank everybody for allowing the Garden Club and the pollinator groups to go and dig plants there. That went very well, and I think that was a really good, positive public thing.
Thanks.
Just a quick add-on, Sarah. Just there, one of the items there, $600,000 of resurface tennis courts, and Bear Corner Road needs to be paved.
I think we need to ask our selectmen to look really carefully at the roads. Yeah. Bear Corner is one of them, and there are a couple others that.
Yeah.
But they're big tickets.
Well, the tunnel lines comes down with a group of people with torches.
Well, the roads very specifically, you know, big roads that need to be rebuilt. Those are prime candidates for bonding at this time, and we know what they are. So yes, I mean that would be a focus.
So here's my request on this. I will not restate things that have been shared already tonight. I had many of the same thoughts. My thought or request, there's been a lot of discussion about our capital improvement plan. There's been a lot of discussion about just kind of not pushing things down the road and understanding. What I would like to understand is what's on this list. How does it line up to that five-year plan of the 2022 to 2026? And, you know, can we get an updated schedule that says here's proposed ARPA? I mean, we could all go back and make that reconciliation. But I think that was one of the things the committee looked at, was what were some of the big ticket items that were out on the CIP plan, and which ones could we feel pulled forward once we had the foundation of the five kind of categories. So if we can just see, does the way we are proposing using this fund, you know, we've got the five categories, but does it also help alleviate some of those? We've got $3.4 million of requests, and we've probably got $1.1 million unless if we bond. Just so that we can start to look at what is out there, or what's kind of a prime project, like you were saying, Bob. There's probably not this funding or just regular budget that's going to do some of our major town improvements. We've heard a lot about the interest rates. So here's the request for potentially, or a consideration for discussion of the next thing that maybe could go to referendum for bonding. To the point, I mean, interest rates are going to continue to climb. I don't think we're going to capitalize on anything we're talking about potentially adding in the short term, right? We want to get this done as soon as possible. But my asks would just be, when this comes back for final vote, can it come with a CIP that helps us understand what we've taken out of the next 5 years through the usage of this?
Yeah, but I can say we can do that. Most of the capital projects, that's where they came from. It's from the CIP, and perennials are like the pool shell. Park and Rec asks for that every year, I think for the last 5 years, and we keep putting it off, and then we just basically use some concrete and try to patch it along each year. But so things like that have been in, splash pads in there, all those actually are in there. But well, we can bring that up and show it to you.
Yeah, I think it would just be helpful if we can put all of the pieces together when it comes back for a final vote, you know, for us before it ends up in a town meeting. Okay?
Sure. Yep.
Any other comments or questions on the CIP? Or excuse me, the ARPA funding? Said the word CIP too much tonight. Okay, are there any other Board of Selectmen updates, referrals that we have tonight?
The only thing I wanted to mention, if I may, is that we've been working on the figures for Town Bridge, because we're pretty sure we're gonna fall short. Originally, I was talking somewhere between, this is the town's 20% share, somewhere between 100 and 150, and it looks like right now our best estimate is 78,800. That is definitely subject to change. There's still a substantial portion of the building we don't have in. I mean, it's always subject to DOT approval and other things. So it's somewhat of a moving target, but after spending some time on it, going over all the figures, it looks like that would be our overage. Now, remember, we took $200,000 out of the project several years ago, so which I was absolutely in favor of. So based on the information we had at that time. So, you know, if it does come that it's $78,000 over, it's actually under what we had originally budgeted. So, you know, not that anybody's going to care, but that was the case.
Hey, all right. Appreciate that update. I do think, Bill, on your general fund projection, it would be helpful to have that item as well as a potential just kind of footnote. And, you know, if we want to round it to 80,000, something to that extent, I think it's just helpful because we know this is the time where we can keep continuing to see requests of general fund usage. So appreciate that update. All right. Any questions on that? Great. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to the Board of Education. Thanks for hanging in here for the updates from your perspective. It looks like Julie and Donna, you guys got the short straw and have had to stay with us all night.
That's all right. So I just wanted to, so we're coming to you tonight. The last week at the Board of Education meeting, we voted to take, I think we had a surplus of, I don't know, what was our surplus total?
You're on mute, Donna.
You're on mute.
And you're still on mute.
Well, anyway, we had a surplus of approximately 200 and something thousand from basically from payroll savings last year where we had vacancies that were never filled. And so, you know, under the state statute, we are allowed to request to move up to 2% of the total education, Board of Education budget into funds into a non-lapsing account when we have a surplus situation. And so what the Board of Education would actually like to do is put 101,000 from our unexpended funds from the 2020-2021 budget into a non-lapsing account to use towards the completion of the carpet replacement at CIS. As Board of Finance knows, this has been a project that's been underway for the last couple of years. We've managed to complete the removal of the carpet and any environmental concerns around that and replace it with tile on the first floor and the third floor. And we still need the second floor to be completed. And so we felt that this would be a really good way to get this project complete and finished and not have it impact next year's budget because those that would be an item that we would be requesting as part of our CIP budget for next year. And we just felt that this is a project that's been underway. It would be great to get it completed. The area that's been complete, it looks amazing. We've done CIS, the two floors at CIS, and we've done all of the cherry book rooms at this point. And so it's something that's been on the list, the to-do list for Board of Education for at least most of my time on the board. So that's what we're coming to you to ask for tonight. And
the unexpended funds, by the way, were $296,878.
Thank you.
Better late than never.
So does anybody have any questions or comments for Julie or Donna on this request? I think this was something that we did for the first time 2 years ago, if I remember correctly, where we had some unexpended funds and there was a request and we were able to fulfill a few of the capital improvement projects that we weren't able to fund. So any questions?
No, I'm in support of this. I also have been hearing about this for, it seems like decades, a long, long time. So it's nice to get this finished. I am sorry that less money will be coming back into the unexpected funds for the town, but I think this is a good use for it, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Sarah on this. dealing with this for many years, so I understand it. We have the money. And we also have the state law that says they can do it. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
And I think the question, and Bob Skinner, maybe you can weigh in on this too, is making sure, so this ends up, you know, using, so from our budget, you know, the percentage of general fund, it would go from 17.5 to about 17.25, if my rough math is correct, would be the impact to the general fund projection just from this $100,000. And my question would be, are these the next up items on the CIP where this makes sense? Because the other alternative, right, is the money goes back, and then we can think of it more in the context of what does the town need broadly from a CIP and our needs. I'm not saying I disagree with the approach here. I just think it's important to look at it from a collective, what are the total CIP needs and are these the next up?
I guess one of this funding would go into the CIP if it's transferred. I guess that's maybe a question for the Board of Ed, but that was.
Yes, it will go into the CIP. It will go into the CIP account.
Okay. Because one of my questions is there's an additional $27,000 if needed for asbestos. So if it goes into CIP and they don't need it for asbestos, at least it's in the CIP. We can use it for others. CIP projects, because we do transfer that money around, and it did fund a substantial, the money that was left over from other CIP projects did fund a significant amount of the Board of Ed's CIP request last year. I know this has been an issue. I know in talking to Tom Richardson, who does oversees the capital projects, he said it's of importance. So I don't know if we have every project prioritized for the Board of Ed, but I would say from the knowledge that I have, this would be near the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's one that's underway. It would be nice to get it completed. And it really is a health and safety concern. I mean, the carpet that's in there is, I think, probably 20 to 30 years old, and it's just, you know, it needs to be replaced and the project needs to be finished. And, you know, the board, you know, 2 years ago when we started this project, really had concerns, you know, understandably, we had to put it, you know, we had to phase it in and phase it out, but there were concerns of it lingering, and this would allow us to really get it wrapped up and completed.
Yeah, if I can add one more thing, yeah, I remember this project from the time that I was on the Board of Ed, so this is a long-standing thing. We just need to get it done.
Right.
Yeah. The first time.
Yeah.
Are there any other comments from the Board of Finance? Otherwise, I would entertain a motion, because I believe we need a motion on this, to approve the transfer of $101,000 from the unaudited, from the unexpended funds from the Board of Education fiscal year 2020-2021 budget to the Capital Improvement Fund.
Second.
Well, I need a
first
motion.
First, you need to make the motion.
Pardon me? Do I have any questions or is there a motion?
I'll second Ken's motion.
Okay. I motioned it. Sarah seconded
it. Okay. Any conversation? All right. All those in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand.
Andrew, aye.
Thank you. All right, motion carries 5-0. Thank you very much, Julie and Donna, for bringing that. And I don't know if we want to talk about the other item, the ratification of the Administrators Association of Canton upcoming negotiations.
Sure. So, first of all, thank you very much for giving us that money to complete that project. I know it'll be put to good use, and it'll make things much cleaner and safer for our students. So really do appreciate you all working with us on that. At the last board meeting, the Board of Education also ratified the contract for the administrators. And unfortunately, I don't have the final contract in front of me. basically, if I'm working off memory, we approved a 3%. The administrators came to us, wanting some of their compensation to be market adjusted. So as we pointed out in the tri board meeting, our salary ranges tend to be on the lower end of the spectrum for a lot of our surrounding districts, as well as our DIRG, and within the Hartford County. And so the administrators came to us looking for a 3% increase, and we basically we agreed to that. So it's a 3%, I think it was a 3% over the 3 years. And there's a step in there, but there's only one administrator that has a step. So the step cost is pretty minimal. We were able to get our insurance rates to increase the way we needed them to increase to maintain, to keep the board costs down. And then we were pleased with that. And it also keeps them kind of in line with the teacher's contract in that, they're compensated more so that their percentage of the health cost should be a little bit more than what the teachers are getting. So overall, we were very pleased. It was a very easy negotiation. It was completely off the record, so we were able to see it save legal fees, which is always nice to do. And, I think, we felt that our administrators deserved the compensation increase that they asked for. And we negotiated, around some different things that, them insurance where we felt strong that we needed to increase some things there. And, a lot of you all don't realize that with COVID last year, with all of the COVID protocols and anytime we had cases, it was the administrators and the principals in the buildings that were doing all of the contact tracing. So they spent hours and hours and hours, a lot of time on their weekends, contact tracing people. So, we felt that they deserved recognition for that.
Julie, just for clarity, I think it's just the way you said it. You said 3% over 3 years, and I think you probably, did you mean
3% per year? Yes, I think so. And like I said, I don't have the numbers in front of me, unfortunately.
Right,
so, okay, so Donna can chime in with the actual numbers.
It's 3% each of the 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I just wanted us to be clear that that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Any other comments or updates from the Board of Ed?
None for me.
All right, thank you.
Let's
move on to our next item, which is a bit of new business. And this is our list of Board of Finance meetings for the 2022 calendar year. This needs to be filed. And we will, we will file this. I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments on this. Based on the earlier discussion, I think we could potentially look at this possibly removing the Monday, the April 4th meeting, and instead fill that in once we've got clearer dates based on the takeaway from the last meeting, and we could just file that as a separate meeting would be my recommendation.
We have three comments. One is I double checked against Jewish holidays, and I wanted to thank whoever put this together because we didn't hit any of them. So thank you for being thoughtful, whoever did this, which is good. I'd recommend, Jen, that we leave the April 4th on there, and when we get closer to it, we know what we really need, we just change the date. We make a motion at that point, because that way it's a placeholder, and so it shows there needs to be a meeting somewhere in there, because we're not actually going to eliminate it, are we? We're talking about changing the date of it.
So we are not, in the past, we've actually kind of done that if needed, right? So that's kind of subject to cancellation if the budgets are listed here. I actually believe what we would end up replacing it with is a firm meeting to go over and review, because previously this current year, what we did is we used our meeting on the 18th. So we used our regular monthly meeting in April to kind of review what we got back from the Board of Selectmen, Board of Education, and finalize what we were gonna send to the, like put on the town websites, and we would go to the town hearing with. We need a meeting to finalize that, and we talked a lot about having that meeting sooner. But I also think we heard, given the timing of the 28th and the timing that the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education mean, that I don't think April 4th is an appropriate date. So I think we need, I mean, my gut is there, yes, needs to be a firm meeting. It won't be April 4th. It will be a different date. We just don't have that worked out yet.
Yeah, no, I was just misremembering. So you're right. So I would agree with that. Let's get rid of April 4th. I did want to ask, so we usually don't meet it's either July or August, and we've got both of them on here. I'd recommend we take out whichever one we usually don't meet in. I think it's July, but
I would half agree with you, Sarah, but I would say go ahead and leave it there, because we can always vote in June not to have that meeting, which okay. I recommend, because we have had that meeting in July.
Including this year.
Yeah, this year.
That's right.
And that's one I was just sitting home playing video games and didn't even realize we had.
Can I make one little note that right now you've got Monday, July 18th, 2020 as the as your job date.
Thank you, Bob.
No,
that's an interesting one.
I don't know what I had.
All right. We have time. My one thought is Bob Skinner and Bill. First of all, I'll give Bill the credit for being on top of this and putting it together and putting the thoughtful consideration into the broad calendar. So I will give Bill 100% credit on this. My recommendation is that we review, update, and finalize this at the November meeting. I don't believe we have to file this, and we would have time to finalize it in November if we could, and we will make the update to make July 18th, 2022, but we will also come back with a revised budget calendar and incorporate whatever the appropriate meeting is. Is that okay from the timing with the town and our requirements?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, sounds good.
And Bob and Bill, is that okay? I think we have time.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thank you. So we'll put that under old business next month. Very exciting. All right, with that, I'm gonna move us along to just calling out that we need to approve the minutes, which we can find on, I believe it is page 84 of our packet.
I'll share it again.
Oh, you're good. We keep having you share and unshare.
Oh,
all right. So, do I have a motion to approve these minutes? Or
yes, I'll give you. I move that we approve these minutes.
All right, Katie.
I'll second it, unless I was Andrew.
Yeah, I threw out a second.
All right, we'll let Andrew come off mute and give the second there. Is there any discussion? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Andrew, aye.
All right, thank you. We had some informational items, which are Selectmen and Board of Education minutes. Our next meeting is Monday, November 15th. So we will be back here for that meeting, and then also December 20th. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Sarah, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I know it was a lot to discuss tonight. Appreciate everybody's time, and we will see you all next month. Bill, we have the finalized to...